appreciate that. Good singing, amen. I appreciate all the music tonight. It's spoken to my heart. I appreciate that very, very much. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians in chapter number 3. Philippians in chapter number 3. I trust that each and every one of you had a good day and definitely had a good time with Brother Evans and Alan. Alan had a good time with them today. He didn't growl very much at all, amen. No, he didn't. He didn't growl too much, amen. And I told Brother Evans today I'm going to preach a message real soon. And many times throughout the year, get to preach in meetings. I guess we would call them preacher meetings. And I've been reading over in Acts chapter number 21 when Paul was talking to those men of God over in Ephesus. And I'm going to preach a message on Paul's pet peeves to preachers. And matter of fact, turn over there just real quick. Let me just show you something real quick. Look at Acts chapter number 21. I believe it's Acts 21, isn't it? Yeah, it is. I shouldn't have told you to turn there because I'm not going to be able to find the verse I'm looking for. But anyway, don't even turn there. Turn back to Philippians, amen. I don't have it prepared yet, but I will tell you this. Over there in Acts chapter number 21, one of the very first words or the very first word of a verse over there in Acts chapter 21, you can find it for me here in a minute. He said serving. He said serving. And there's a lot of preachers my age and younger that they want to be served, but they're not doing much serving. Our Savior, you want me to tell you one of the greatest qualities that you and I can possess of the Savior? Just be a servant to others. He took on the form of a servant, amen? Humbled himself, became obedient unto death, amen? So I'm going to preach a message on Paul's pet peeves to preachers real soon, amen? And I want to help you tonight. How many of you, well, I know I'm asking a wrong crowd this in Illinois, but man, I know I'm getting older on two things. I don't handle the cold like I used to, amen, and I know I'm getting old now and older, the dynamics and the logistics of our ministry's changed a little bit, and Nikita doesn't travel with me as much anymore. And usually I'm leaving out on Saturday evenings. If I fly, I catch the late flight, or if I'm within driving distance, I'll stay home as long as I can on Saturday and just drive to my next destination. And then don't see her again until Thursday. But the last words, I always tell her I love her over the phone on Wednesday night. Those are not the last words that I tell my wife. I always make sure I tell her those words. But the last words nowadays is, don't forget to turn my side of the electric blanket on and leave my vitamins out, amen. So I know I'm getting older by making those two statements right there. But anyway, so I'm glad that you're here tonight, especially the membership of Calvary Baptist Church. But those of you that are visiting tonight, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here. And we appreciate that very, very much. I know Brother Evans does, amen. And I've had a good time with them, the fellowship, the meals. Everything has been absolutely wonderful. Brother Evans, thank you again for entrusting me with your pulpit. And last year when I was here, and even last night when I was here preaching, I've had liberty every time I preach behind this pulpit. And I understand as a guest preacher, when I have liberty to preach behind another man's pulpit, it's because the church gets a steady diet of Bible preaching every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And therefore, it gives the guest preacher liberty to preach. And I appreciate you entrusting me with your pulpit tonight. I want you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter number 3. Let's stand all across the room tonight as we take reverence to the reading of the Word of God. And I know that Paul told young Timothy, he said, Timothy, he said, there's a time to reprove, there's a time to rebuke, there's a time to exhort. And I want to exhort tonight. It's my utmost desire to be a help and a blessing. And I'm glad tonight, as flesh, I don't have all the answers. But I do have an answer book to all of life's questions, amen. That's the old King James Bible, the Word of God. And I want to help us tonight with the help of God and the help of God's Word. Philippians chapter number 3, look at verse number 12. The Bible says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now tonight, I don't have three main points and 15 subpoints. Matter of fact, the message is pretty pointless tonight, amen? But I want to preach on this topic, on getting past your past. Getting past your past. I read a statement the other day, it went like this. Dwelling on past mistakes will cause one to be discouraged. Dwelling on past victories will cause one to be apathetic. Brother Frederick, why don't you open us up in prayer tonight, please, Brother Frederick. Amen, you may be seated. I guess if God has given me any type of ministry at all, it would be a ministry that would reclaim the prodigals, amen. And I have a prodigal sister that I have asked churches all across this country to pray for. And tomorrow night, I'll give her name to you tomorrow night, and I want you to pray for her. And I also have a journal that I travel all across the country with, where I pray for prodigals as well. And I'm glad tonight that if the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of them, the same Holy Spirit of God that speaks to you and I that are in close fellowship with Him is the same Holy Ghost of God that can speak to them out there in the hog pen as well, amen. And as an evangelist now for these last 11 years, especially in the last couple of years, I spend quite a bit of time in spiritual counseling with either new Christians that are struggling maybe in their marriage or just in life, or prodigals that are at the place where they want to bring honor and glory to God instead of a shame and reproach, but they don't know how to get back to that place. I used to think that I was the only one on God's green earth that had a past that I regretted, had past mistakes and past failures and past blunders and even past heartaches that somebody else may have caused me, but God gave me victory over that. And I understand in churches all across this country, including this church and other churches that are represented here tonight, every single one of us have past mistakes, and every single one of us have past failures and past blunders and past heartaches that were caused by maybe somebody else. I spent time this week, either in person or on the phone, try to help God's people to get back on track spiritually, to help them overcome difficulties and get back to the place where they can again enjoy the victorious Christian life. And can I say tonight, child of God, God never intended, God's desire for you and I as His children is not to live in defeat, not to live discouraged and despondent lives. God wants you and I to live in victory. But we need to understand tonight that victory means to overcome. Victory does not mean not to have opposition. Victory does not mean not to have an enemy. But victory means to overcome that opposition and to overcome that enemy, amen? And one of the difficult burdens that folks bear is the burden of a difficult past. Sometimes those pasts consist of haunting sins in their past that anchor them down, or in their mind, it holds them down from serving God, oh, if they can serve God. Sometimes those past are troubling failures. Things that the child of God has tried to do, but they have failed, and that bothers them, and in their mind, it holds them back for all that they can do for God. Sometimes those past consist of memories of hurt or pain that were caused by somebody else, and they're very difficult to overcome. Can I say tonight, sadly, there are tens of thousands of people that are at home tonight or on Sunday or on Wednesday that should be at church on Sundays and Wednesdays and even revival services, but some of them have been hurt in church or by someone, and that has become a reason or an excuse for them not to be in church. Oftentimes somebody will say to me, well, preacher, I just can't forget my past enough to move forward in the Christian life. I want to help us with that this evening with the Word of God. I want to help us and show us how you and I can overcome haunting sins, how you and I can overcome troubling failures, how you and I can overcome the memories of hurts and pain that were caused by somebody else. Now, the verses that I read tonight, the human penman that wrote these words under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God was the Apostle Paul himself. But you understand, the Apostle Paul was not always the greatest missionary this world's ever known. The Apostle Paul was not always known as the one that wrote most of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul was not always the man of God that turned this world upside down for the cause of Christ. At one time, he was known as Saul of Tarsus. At one time, he persecuted the church. At one time, he threw men, women, boys, and girls in prison for lifting up the name of Christ. Matter of fact, let's find out a few things that the Bible talks about this Saul of Tarsus. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Acts in chapter number 7 with me tonight. Acts in chapter number 7. Many commentators would say that Saul of Tarsus was named after King Saul in the Old Testament. Some of them would say this is a pretty neat statement. They would say Saul in the Old Testament started out good, but things ended up bad for him. But Saul of Tarsus started out bad, but things ended out very well for him, amen. Look at Acts chapter number 7. Look at verse number 58 with me tonight. Acts chapter number 7. Look at verse number 58. The Bible says in verse number 57, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin of their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. You understand, this is talking about that young deacon named Stephen. And the Bible says that the young men, they laid their clothes down at a man's name whose name was Saul. Look at chapter number 8. Look at verse number 1. Just laying a foundation here. Look at Acts chapter 8. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Now look at Acts chapter number 9. Look at verse number 1 and 2 with me tonight. Look at Acts chapter number 9. Look at verse number 1 and 2. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 9, verse number 1 and 2, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. You understand tonight, church, the Apostle Paul was not always known as the Apostle Paul. He was not always known as God's man. Saul of Tarsus did everything he could to stop this growing saying that there was a man that was named Jesus that died and was buried and rose again, and Saul of Tarsus despised that teaching. Most of us here tonight, we probably know the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Before Paul was saved, he was known as Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was a religious man, but he certainly was not a blood-bought child of God. In fact, he saw Christians and Christianity as an enemy of his religion, the religion of Judaism. You understand, he believed in Judaism before his conversion. So we understand tonight that Paul, of course, had a troubled past as he persecuted Christians and as he tried to destroy churches and even tried to bring many Christians to be martyred. You understand, Paul said this about himself under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 15, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Think of that with me tonight, church. When we first meet the Apostle Paul, his hands are stained with the blood of martyrs. And it's amazing to me what God did to that very man and used him to pen the very words of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where he said, and the greatest of these is love or charity. I say that's a transformation, wasn't it? To see him go from the life that he lived to the Christian that he became. We all know the story on the Damascus Road, how he came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Lord revealed himself unto Paul, and he was converted that day. Now, it's not a surprising thing to me that Paul came to despise his past life. So in this passage in the book of Philippians, turn your Bible back to Philippians chapter 3, and that's where we'll spend the remainder of our time tonight. It's not a surprising thing to me that Paul came to despise his past life. So in this passage, when he spoke of forgetting the past, in this passage of Scripture, he speaks of forgetting in verse number 13. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, what's Paul talking about? Forgetting. Well, he's forgetting that he had despised and persecuted and even killed Christians for their faith. You understand tonight, church? These were memories. These were pain. These were haunting sins. These were failures in his past that bothered him. And can I say tonight, before I go any further, I believe with all my heart tonight, if the God of heaven could save Saul of Tarsus and allow him to become the great Apostle Paul, saved, sanctified, and set apart for the master's use, there's not a person in your family, there's not a drunk on your street, there's not a drug addict in rehab tonight that God can't save, sanctify, and set apart for the master's use. You say, well, Brother Dallas, they're just a hard case. I'm glad tonight when we say they're a hard case, we serve a God that specializes in the hard cases tonight, amen. I want you to look at Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. And child of God, if Paul, the murderer of Christians, could get past his past, you and I can get past our past as well, amen. Now, what would Paul do to help him move forward, to have the joy of the Lord that he would write this very book of Philippians, that he would be able to forget his past? Well, I want you to look at Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse number 12 with me tonight. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. Now, wait a minute. Paul's not talking about a sinless perfection, but he's talking about reaching his potential in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, throughout his entire life and throughout his entire ministry, he realized that I'm not where I want to be for Christ yet. There is more that I can do for Christ. He was saying, I can be a better Christian today than I was yesterday. He said, I'm not perfect. And then he says, but I follow after. And then I love that next phrase that he said, if that I may have apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul said, God saved me for a purpose. And his purpose is not for me to live in the past and to dwell in the past and to wallow in the past. But his purpose for me is to go towards the will of God for my life. Amen. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I want you to look at Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13 and 14. Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth of those things which are before. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You understand tonight, church? Paul is recognizing that he is not where he wants to be in his Christian life. And I ask us that same question tonight. Can we relate to that statement? Can we say this evening that we are satisfied where we're at with Christ? Or can we say, I desire to be a better Christian for Christ today than I was yesterday? And that should be the desire of every one of us that are saved by the grace of God. No matter what our age, from the youngest to the eldest, we should desire to do exactly what God has saved us to do, so we can relate to Paul when he said, I have not yet reached where I want to be in my Christian life. I want to point something else, still laying a foundation. We'll get to the preaching here in just a minute. I want to point something else out. Paul was continuing to grow throughout his entire ministry. He was growing spiritually, and that ought to be the goal of every one of us as well. You understand tonight, child of God? I'm talking about the church member. I'm talking about us preachers here tonight. None of us ever reach some elevated plane where we never need God to work anymore in our lives. My friend, he's still working on me just like he's still working on you, amen. And I believe Paul said, I may not be where I want to be, but praise God, I'm not where I used to be either, amen. So Paul's not satisfied. He's still striving, but he's thankful that he's not where he used to be. And then Paul recognizes that God had a purpose for him, and he wanted to fulfill that purpose. And then Paul makes a statement in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13, that really got my attention about 6 months ago. Now, you other preachers here tonight, you probably saw this truth years and years ago, but I'm from Mississippi and I'm a little bit of a slow learner, amen. So I didn't see it until about 6 months ago, but I want you to look at it with me. Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now, I want you to look at these next six words. But this one thing I do. Now listen to me, I'm not trying to add to, I'm not trying to take away from the Word of God. I wouldn't dare do that. But Brother Evans, I could clearly understand after Paul said, but this one thing I do, I could understand the next statement after that was forgetting those things which are behind, period. But there wasn't a period. There was a comma. And then there was a three-letter word, I believe we call it a conjunction in English class. He said, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, comma, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Well, Paul, I thought you said this one thing I do. Well, it looks like you're writing down two things. No, it appears that he writes down two things, but actually he's only writing down one thing while making two accomplishments. I want you to follow. He said, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do. First of all, he said, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. He said, I'm forgetting that I persecuted the church. I'm forgetting that I killed Christians. I'm forgetting that I threw men, women, boys, and girls in prison for lifting up the name of Christ. He said, but the only way I can forget that is I've got to go towards the will of God. And the more that I pursue the will of God, the more I forget about my past. He said, I can't just live in the past. I just can't dwell in the past. I just can't wallow in the past. The only way I'm going to get out of the past is go towards the will of God for my life. Are you with me tonight, church? He said, I'm not just leaving here, I'm going over there. Here in just a little while, this is a very bottom of the shelf, very basic illustration. But here in just a little while, I'm going to go out that door right there. We're eating back there, aren't we? Praise the Lord. Matter of fact, let's just close in prayer right now. Amen. But here in just a minute, a little while, I'm going to go out that door. But you understand tonight, the only way I can get out that door is I've got to leave this platform. I will not get to that door until I leave this platform. And child of God, you will not get out of your past mistakes and out of your past failures and out of your past blunders. Child of God, there's somebody here tonight that somebody hurt you very badly. You will not get out of those past memories and those past hurts and pains as long as you sit there and dwell in the past. But my friend, you've got to leave the past. But the only way you're going to leave the past is you've got to pursue the will of God for your life. I want to point something else out to us, still laying a foundation. Paul didn't say, I want you to look at the wording. Can I tell us tonight, I'm not against you reading your Bible through in a year. I'm not against that at all. But I believe tonight God's not so much concerned of you checking off a box and saying, I read this and I read this day by day. My friend, matter of fact, every now and then we just need to slow down and quit being so much concerned about quantity as we are quality and let the God of heaven speak to us when we read the Word of God. Amen. Look at it with me tonight, church. Paul didn't say, I forgot. He did not use the phrase, I have forgotten my past. He said, forgetting those things which are behind. It's very interesting to me that he says, I am forgetting. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, you understand if he used the word forgot or forgotten, see, that is something that is finished. But he didn't say forgot. He said, I am forgetting. I want you to see the picture. He said, I am leaving my sinful past, but the only way I can forget about my past is I've got to pursue the will of God. He said, the more I get away from my sinful past, I'm pursuing the will of God. As I move, what he's saying is, as I move forward towards the will of God, the more I'm forgetting about my past. I want to preach on this subject very clearly tonight. I have not forgot, but I am forgetting. This one thing I do, well, Paul, what's the one thing you do? He said, I pursue the will of God. He said, I just can't forget all the terrible, wicked things that I've done. But I will tell you what, as I pursue the will of God, and as I find joy in the will of God, and as I find happiness in doing the will of God, the more I do the will of God, the more I forget about my past. Now, stay with me tonight, church. Many people, they fake and they try and they work to simply forget past failures, to forget haunting sins, to forget pain and memories of the past. But all they do is they focus on the past. And they focus on, I'm such a terrible person, and I have such tremendous mistakes, and I failed God so many times. And if I ever get over this, then I'm going to begin to forget about my past. Can I say, my friend, that's not how you begin to serve God. You start serving God, and as you serve God, you begin to forget about your past sins because they get swallowed up in the joy of serving Jesus. But as long as you sit here and you talk about your past and you remind yourself of the past, and can I say the devil does a good job at it as well? Let me just make this statement. I'll make it again here in a little while. But child of God, listen to me tonight. It's never the God of heaven that brings up our past. It's always the devil that brings up our past. And child of God, can I be as tactful as I possibly can? Those of us that have mischievous and wicked lifestyles before we're saved and we're constantly reminded of our past, it's about time some of us tell the devil to go back to hell where he came from, because we're a child of God and we're not living in the past, but we're going forward for God. Amen. Isn't it amazing tonight how difficult it is to remember something good and how difficult and almost impossible it is to forget something that's wrong? You go in Walmart and over the intercom there, they're singing those songs that we used to listen to before we were saved. And all of a sudden we start singing along with it, don't we? Don't look at me like that. Come on now. One preacher said, the only thing that's holding up your halo is the horns in your head. Amen. You know how to forget the past. You get out of the past. You quit dwelling on the past. You quit talking about the past. Get so wrapped up in the will of God. Paul said, this one thing I do. forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth on those things which are before. He said, I am moving forward. The further I get from the shore, the less I can see it, the more I can see the will of God. You understand, tonight, child of God, what the devil wants to do? He wants to sign us up for a class that will remind us of every failure and remind us of every reason and start blaming this and that and the other for why we failed. And can I say, we don't want to live there. Don't live in your past memories. Don't live in your past sins and your past heartaches. God has a will for our life. God saved us for a purpose. God saved us for a reason. God saved us for a work, and that purpose is not to sit sour and soak in the past, but his purpose for us is to move forward and go on for God's honor and for God's glory, amen. Get busy doing what God has called us to do. You understand, church is not designed to remind us of our past mistakes and our past failure and our past sin, but church is to lift up God and his will and the joys of serving Jesus. And say, get out of your past and start serving the God of heaven today. Now I ask you tonight, where do you want to live? Do you want to live in the haunting sins of the past? Do you want to live in the failures of the past? Do you want to live in what the devil reminds you of day in and day out? I want to get so engulfed in the will of God, I can't even see the past. You see, what the devil wants to do, he wants to sign you up for a class to remind you of your past. But Jesus wants to sign you up for a class to teach you how to serve him. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And for Paul to reach those that had never heard the gospel, for him to be forgetting where he had been and persecuting Christians of the gospel, let me ask us a question tonight. What is it, think about it with me practically tonight. What is it that caused us to forget most? Is it talking about the same thing all the time? No. Is it dwelling on the same thing all the time? No. What caused us to forget is we get our mind on something else. You understand tonight, child of God, I'll talk a little bit about it at the end of the message tonight. But before I was saved by the grace of God, I was a hell-bent drug addict from the time I was 14 to the time I was 22 years old. Went through 5 rehabs in jail. I'm not saying that for any other reason except for the sake of the message. But I got saved on August the 16th, 1998. For 8 years of my life, from the time I was 14 to the time I was 22, I'd go to AA meetings and say, my name is Chris Dallas. I'm a dope addict and alcoholic, totally reliving the past day in and day out, and totally living in defeat day in and day out. But thank God tonight, my friend. You say, Brother Dallas, you mean to tell me you don't believe once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic? Absolutely not, my friend. I don't believe once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. But thank God tonight, my friend, my Bible says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Thank God tonight, God doesn't see me as an ex-drug addict or an ex-alcoholic, but he sees me tonight as a blood-bought child of God tonight, my friend. And thank God, it's never God that reminds us of our past. It's always the devil that reminds us of our past. Get sidetracked. Get your mind on something else. And I'll tell you what that something else needs to be. It needs to be the will of God. We fellas, we know how to get sidetracked, don't we? Especially us married men. We done worked 14, 16. We try to make it out to be like we done worked 24 hours straight, but we worked 16 hours a day. We're 30 minutes away from home, but we've already driven 20 minutes of that, so we're only 10 minutes away from home. We're ready to kick up our feet and just sit down for a little while and rest. You're 10 minutes away from home, and your phone rings, and you look at the phone, and it's your wife. You answer the phone and she says, hey, honey. And you know when she says honey like that, she's about to ask you to do something you don't want to do. And she says, hey, honey, would you mind going to the grocery store for me? And you know how nice and polite we are about that. Well, sure, honey. There's nothing in the world that I'd rather do than go to the grocery store for you, amen. And she said, well, do you need me to text what I need from the grocery store, or do you need to pull over and write it down what I need? She, nope, I don't need you to text it to me. I don't need to write it down. I'll just put in the old knocker up here, amen. And what she tells you she needs some eggs and she needs some bacon and she needs some milk. But you come busting through the front door 45 minutes, an hour later, and you don't have eggs, you don't have bacon, you don't have milk. But you sure do have potato chips and chips and dip and frozen chicken fingers, amen. You know why? We got our mind on something else. We got sidetracked. You heard about that elderly couple. They'd been married for over 50 years, and they were just still just as much madly in love. I don't know if they were in love, but they were mad. But anyway, they were just as madly in love 50 years later as the day they said, I do. And they were sitting out on the front porch swing one hot summer night, and the wife looked at the husband. They were gazing in each other's eyes, and she said, you know, I sure would love to have a big old bowl of vanilla ice cream this hot summer night with some chocolate syrup on it. He said, you want a big old bowl of vanilla ice cream with chocolate syrup on it? She said, I sure do. He said, you know, that sounds pretty good to me. That sounds pretty good to me too, amen. He said, you know, that sounds pretty good to me. And he said, I'll go fix us a big old bowl of vanilla ice cream with chocolate syrup on it. So he goes inside. He leaves her there on the front porch swing, goes inside the living room there, bypasses the living room, goes into the kitchen, and he looks at the refrigerator. And on top of the refrigerator, he sees a big old loaf of fresh bread up top of the refrigerator. He pulls that loaf of bread down. He pulls four slices out, puts two slices on one plate, two slices on the other, rolls the bread back up, puts it on the top of the refrigerator, looks inside, and sees that big, thick brine bologna inside. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. And he pulls that bologna out. He takes one slice out, puts it on her sandwich, and takes another slice out, puts it on his sandwich, slaps the sandwiches together, puts the bologna back in the refrigerator. He walks outside. He's got her plate in one hand, his plate of a bologna sandwich in the other hand. He hands her that bologna sandwich, and she just looks at it. She takes the top piece of bread off, and she looks inside that sandwich. She said, just a plain old bologna sandwich. I told you that I wanted mustard and cheese on it, amen. Now ask us tonight, what causes us to forget? We get our mind on something else. I guess what I'm trying to say in a nutshell, if you're a blood-bought child of God, here it goes like this. Once I was lost, I was in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within. But with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, and mercy and love, he took me under his wings. Oh yes, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. No longer an outcast, no longer an alien, no longer a lost sinner, no longer unforgiven. But thank God tonight, I'm saved, sanctified, and set apart for the Master's use. And child of God, get out of your past. But the only way you'll get out of your past is you got to pursue the will of God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He said in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Paul, do you remember when? No, sir, I don't think about that anymore. But I will tell you what, there's a town up there that's never heard of the name of Jesus. And my goal is to get to that town. Well, Paul, do you remember? Nope, I'm forgetting that, because the more I work to get the gospel to that town that has never heard the gospel, the more I forget about my past. Child of God, Paul didn't say, I forgot. Paul didn't say, it's over. But he said, I'm having a good time forgetting. And the more I do the will of God, the more I forget about my past. That's why somebody tonight that keeps on living in the past, that's why you ought to get busy working on a bus route. That's why you ought to get busy helping out in a Sunday school class. That's why you ought to get busy using your talent to sing a special in church, or show up for soul winning, or show up for work days at the church house. And instead of thinking about ourselves, and instead of having a pity party of our past, we ought to think about somebody else that does not have the same Christ living in them that we have living in us. Amen. I know that we all have personal responsibilities. I know we all have personal burdens. I know we all have the cares of this world, but the only way I can overcome and get in the process of forgetting the past is get busy doing the will of God. You ought to think about winning somebody to Christ. You know what the simple will of God for every one of us is tonight, that's blood-bought child of God? The simple will of God for us is to read this Bible every day. The simple will of God for us is to pray every day. simple will of God for us is to find out what it is to die of this flesh and be led by the Spirit of God. The simple will of God for us is to be different from the world. The simple will of God for us is to be at the house of God every time we should be at the house of God. And I understand that's elementary. I understand that's what we teach the youngsters in junior church. But if us, some of us big adults can get a hold of those five things and just make them principles in our life, that we will not let anything interfere with reading the Bible and praying and being different from the world and being in church when we should be in church. My friend, we won't live in the past, but we'll go on for God's honor and for God's glory. Pour our life into somebody else. Go down to the nursing home or the hospital or the jail cells and spread some love and cheer to somebody that is lonely and hurting. Can I ask you tonight, are there haunting sins in your past that you wish you could forget? Welcome to my world. Are there haunting failures that you wish you could erase from your life? Probably every one of us here tonight. Are there memories of pain and memories of fear in your past and it bothers you? I'll tell you how to begin forgetting that is to begin the journey of doing the will of God. I've heard people even say this, Brother Evans. Preacher, when I get this taken care of, all this stuff taken care of, then I'll get saved. You know how you take care of it. You don't take care of it, then you get saved. You take care of it by getting saved. You're not going to forget it all, but you can begin forgetting. Paul said this one thing I do, but Paul, it looks like there's two things. No, sir, it's not two things. You see, as I'm leaving over here, I'm going over there. And as I go over there, I'm leaving over here. I'm doing one thing and accomplishing two different tasks. I won't go into complete detail, but the camel or the straw that broke the camel's back with my mom and dad almost over 20 years ago now. I'd already been through five rehabs, already been in and out of jail. My life was a complete mess. Didn't even really have permission to be at my mom and dad's house the day that I did this. But I found out that they were leaving on weekend vacation to Hot Springs, Arkansas. And as soon as they left town, I went over to their house and busted down their door. And I'm not saying this for any other reason except for the sake of the message. And if you know how much it grieves me to even tell you this, if I can help somebody tonight, I sure want to help somebody. Went over to their house and stole everything I could get my hands on inside the house to take to the pawn shop to get some quick cash to feed the drug habits that I had in my life. That was on a Friday, and Monday morning come rolling around. The money was gone. The dope was gone. No gas in the car. As far as I thought back then, I mean, I was living life to the fullest. I had all the friends around me as long as I had a pocket full of money, a pocket full of the drugs of the world. Monday morning, come rolling around, didn't have any money, didn't have any dope, didn't have any gas, and I pulled back into my mom and dad's house and pulled up there like nothing had happened, and my dad met me out in the middle of the driveway. He said, Chris, he said, we're not going to call the cops on you. He said, we've already been in a police station today and signed a restraining order where you can't even come within 100 yards of the house. He said, but I'm going to give you 15 minutes to get inside the house, get your stuff, get out of here, and never set foot back on our property. And he said, as of today, you're no longer our son. I got in my car there that day, didn't have any gas, didn't have any money, just had a few stitches of clothes, an old garbage bag. And that's what sin and Satan will do to each and every one of us. He'll rob us of everything that God ever wanted to give us. And I got in my car and I thought I didn't have any gas or have any money, but one thing I thought I had some friends. And I began to go to those friends' house one after the other, began to knock on their door and begin to ask them if I could have a place to stay for a night or two. And all they want to know is how much money do you have and how much dope do you have. I just spent all my money on them all weekend long. And when I didn't have any money, I didn't have any dope, they didn't have a place for me to stay either. And there that day, Brother Evans, I came to the quick realization the ones I was treating like my worst enemies, my mom and daddy, were in reality my best friends. Can I say to some young people here tonight, that crowd out there that tries to get you to do against what your mom and dad try to instill in you and the man of God tries to preach behind the pulpit, can I say they're not your friends? Your real friends are that mom and dad that love you enough to bring you to the house of God and the man of God that loves you enough to preach, thus saith the Lord. Those are your real friends. Got my car there that day, didn't have any gas, didn't have any money. I got on the interstate down south, Interstate 55. And I began to head south. Didn't know how far I was going to go. Didn't know how long it was going to take me to get there. But I passed by a little town called Hernando. And as soon as I passed by the city limit sign, of Fernando, Mississippi. My car began to spit and sputter, and it was running out of gas. And about a mile past Fernando, there's a rest area there, and that's where my car coasted in that rest area, and that's where I lived as a drug-addicted bum in a car that was just out of gas. I lived there for weeks. My mom found out a few weeks later that I was living there. She kind of picked me up. She took me to a halfway house, and what she told me that night when she dropped me off at that halfway house, I guess I'll never forget it. She said, Chris, she said, you're not going to hear from your daddy and I for some time because we've been getting harassing phone calls from dope deals that you owe money to. And sure enough, I didn't hear from my mom and daddy for about 6 months, but in order to live in that halfway house, I had to go to AA meetings every night and get up and say, my name is Chris Dallas. I'm a dope addict and alcoholic. About 6 months after I lived there, on one particular Sunday night, August 16, 1998, I was walking out of that halfway house about to get in my car and head to an AA meeting, and the phone rang. Now, I don't know if it was before cell phones, but before I had a cell phone. Man, days were a lot simpler back then, wasn't they? But I went and answered the phone, and it was one of those phones that had a 100-foot cord. Amen. How many of you remember that? Phone was on the wall. If you needed privacy, you just put a 200-foot cord on there. Amen. But anyhow, I went and answered the phone. When I did, it was the sweetest voice I'd heard in some time. It was my mama. And mama said, Chris, she said, your sisters and I found a church we've been going to, and we'd like for you to come out tonight. And I immediately agreed to go there that night, not to hear about God, not to learn about the Lord. I simply agreed to go just so I could manipulate my family and please them that I was in church, and maybe they'd be pleased enough to let me get out of that halfway house and come home and live with them. That night I got to church, and I realized very quickly there was somebody there more powerful than I was. There was somebody there more powerful than the crowd I was running around with. There was somebody there more powerful than the things I was putting in my body. The preacher didn't even preach on salvation that night. He preached on how to get out of financial bondage. And I was in financial bondage, but I was even in worse bondage than that. I was in the bondage of sin. Soul winner came and stood beside me at invitation time, put his arm around me, brought me up real close, said, you don't know who I am, but I've been praying for you. And when he said those words, his old cold, stony heart began to melt. He was able to take me on a journey. That journey is what we call the Romans Road to Salvation. That night I applied Romans 10:13 in my heart that says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That night I bowed my head, bowed my heart, called on God to save my soul. And I testify to you tonight, my life has never been the same since that day. Amen. Let's fast forward now 20 years later. 11 years now, my wife and I have been in evangelism, and we've traveled all across this country. But at least, I guess, a half a dozen times a year in our travels, when we leave point A from the revival we just finished, going to point B where we're about to start a new meeting, about a half a dozen times a year, I pass by that rest area a mile south of Fernando, Mississippi. And I'm sure I'm the only one here tonight that the devil does this to. But every single time that I've ever passed by that rest area, the old devil get on my shoulder. And he begins to whisper in my ear, you remember when you was a drug addicted bum? You remember when you lived in this halfway, or you remember when you lived in this rest area right here? You remember when you almost sent your mom and dad to an early grave? I know I'm not the only one the devil does that to. He does it to all of us, doesn't he? Every single time I'm reminded, the devil gets on my shoulder and says, you remember when you lived there as a drug addicted bum? Well, about 6 months ago when God gave me this truth right here about forgetting the things which are behind and reaching for the things that were before, and the only way I can forget the past is pursuing the will of God. About 6 months ago, I finished up a meeting in Missouri, and our next meeting was going to start in Sulphur, Louisiana. And in order to get from the revival that we finished in Missouri to Sulphur, Louisiana, we had to go right through Horn Lake, Mississippi, where my mom and dad lived, right on the other side of Memphis, Tennessee. We had to go right through there. And I'd already talked to my mom and dad a couple weeks before this particular time and made the arrangements. And they said, well, Chris, instead of going to get a motel room, why don't you just come and stay here at our house, amen? And I say that's the grace and mercy of an almighty God, that 20 years ago, they had a restraining order where I couldn't even go within 100 yards of the house, but now they say, just come stay with us, amen? Thank God for his grace. So that night, we finished that revival. We drove through the night. We got to my mom and dad's house, and man, we stayed there Thursday night. We stayed there Friday night. We fellowshipped. We had fun. We laughed. We cut up. We ate meals together. And Saturday, my wife and I packed up our bags, packed up the rig, and we began to leave Horn Lake, Mississippi to go to Sulphur, Louisiana, which was about 600 miles. About 5 minutes after we got in the vehicle, we got on an interstate down south. That interstate was Interstate 55. And as we got on Interstate 55, about 15 minutes later, I saw the city limit sign of Hernando, Mississippi. And just like any other time when I saw the city limit sign of Hernando, the old devil got on my shoulder and began to whisper in my ear and began to say, you remember when you lived in this rest area there about as a drug-addicted bomb? But that day, this message was brewing on my heart hot and heavy about forgetting the past and pursuing the will of God. And that day, as this message was brewing on my heart hot and heavy, I just hit the gas a little bit harder, and I just kept on going, and I just kept on going, and I just kept on going right towards the will of God to the Grace Baptist Church in Sulphur, Louisiana. Are you getting the picture tonight, church? The further I got to the will of God, the more the past was in the rearview mirror, amen. Child of God, can I tell you, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but perhaps there's somebody on the sound of my voice. You keep on living in the past. You keep on dwelling in the past. You keep on wallowing in the past. But thank God, I've got a Bible that says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And maybe there's somebody here tonight that you just need to come to this old-fashioned altar and leave the past on this altar and go on for God's honor and for God's glory. Let's stand all across the building tonight as the pianist would come. I want you to think about this thought right here. Think about the omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent God that knows everything. I'm talking about the God that knows how many stars are in the sky. I'm talking about the God that knows how our brain functions and how our heart beats. The all-knowing God, the Bible says, He chose to forget. I not only serve a forgiving God, but I serve a God that has forgotten our past. And child of God, you say, well, Brother Dallas, if I come to the altar, everybody's going to think that I have a wicked past. Can I say every single one of us were guilty before God at the day of salvation? Amen.